Good morning, everybody. Actually, I should say good evening. It's 8:57 p.m. here in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Taylor Jones, and thank you guys for tuning in. So today's episode is going to be pretty off the cuff, nothing extraordinarily exciting. We'll see what comes out of it, but I thought I might as well record something. I'm actually using my laptop today, so this will be fun. So what's new with me? I've been working a lot of work, in a good way. And, Gary Vee actually said something, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, I heard him say this, that the amount of money that you make is in direct correlation to the amount of anxiety inducing activities. And I'm paraphrasing, that you can take on and manage. So basically, how much anxiety can you handle, or responsibility can you manage at once? That's basically going to be a good indicator as to how much money that you make. Okay. Now, I don't think that's every single situation, but I thought that was pretty spot on. I'm noticing now that, you know, as I'm getting into my own sales career, that the amount of activity that I'm doing is just nonstop. From the time I go into the office at 7:38 until the time that I'm wrapping up emails and everything at 4:35, 6 o'clock, I am going nonstop, which isn't a bad thing. I'm learning so much, but yeah. So where do I want to take this? I'll take it this way. If you guys are possibly considering a career in sales, I find it to be very fitting for a couple reasons. First is that whenever I finished up my travel, I dedicated myself to fulfilling a purpose. And that purpose is to commit myself every day and each moment to the development of love and growth within myself first, and then share this with others, to be guided by what I love, what I'm called to offer, and what I feel in the deepest and truest part of my being, and to share my message of truth and divine guidance, inspiration with everyone, to inspire, to educate with my teachings, my story, whatever, my life experience. And I realized that in order to be able for me to be able to share that and to impact people on a large scale, I'm going to need business. I'm going to need to use business most likely and the format of a business to be able to do that. Entrepreneurship, whatever it is, I'm going to need to be able to use that platform to be able to do that. So that's why I got into sales, because I want to be on the forefront of business and be able to learn how it is conducted. How does it work? So that I can build my own one day. So that's what got me into it, intrigued. Now, once I'm in it, I'm starting to realize that in order to be successful in this type of career, you need to be constantly learning, constantly facing your fears when you go to pick up the phone, okay? And you have to face the possibility that you might get rejected. That's not easy, okay? When, you know, you have to practice dealing with stress, okay? You have to make so many phone calls a day, to have so many meetings. You have a quota of however much money that you need to be able to bring in revenue, right? These are all these things that you need to be able to handle. It forces you to grow and learn and expand as a person. I don't think you could possibly enter in, oh, that's probably applicable to any career. You shouldn't enter into your career and come out years later the same person, right? You should be transformed in a way. And I'm noticing myself like every day just having to face things and to excel. So for example, like I went away to Long Island and we were doing, it was a week long sales training where we just literally learned about sales 101, the copier industry. For those of you who don't know, I'm with Xerox now. So selling copiers, printers, that sort of stuff. But a lot of other stuff too, like software as well. So we were learning about all this stuff, and one of the things that they said was like, okay, like when you go to make a call to someone, to prospecting call, you should be doing using relevant name drops, right? So like, okay, like, hey, I'm calling Kathy's Bakery. Hey, Kathy, my name's Taylor. I'm with Xerox. The reason I'm calling is because we're actually working with the Blueberry Bakery down the street, and we were able to do X, Y, and Z for them, and it's actually been working out very well. And I'm wondering if you can have 15 minutes next week to meet with me on Monday at 3 o'clock so that we can go over not only the things that we were able to help them with, but I could introduce myself and discover maybe what you guys are currently using within your office and maybe how we can help blank, blank compelling business reason. Are you available next Monday at 2 o'clock for 15 minutes? Boom. I used that today. That's like the outline we learned, right? And I used that today. I made like 10 calls. I got a hold of 5 people and I made 2 appointments. Guys, there are some days that previously, a couple weeks ago, where I would make 30 calls and no appointments. I was like, holy shit. So I'm learning, I'm developing. That's really cool stuff that's going on. What else is going on in my life? I've been reading Dianetics. So that's the modern science of mental health. It's basically the forefront of Scientology, which is pretty cool. So some of the stuff that I'm learning in Dianetics, for those of you who don't want to take the time to read it, it basically talks about how we are all of our stupidities, our fears, and our shortcomings. I don't know how to describe it really well, because I'm just learning this. I guess the best way to describe it would be actually to start where they started. So basically, they made this chart where it was like, okay, there's a survival suppressor that's pushing us down. Okay? So that's like all of the shit that's fucking you up and that's working against you in life. Okay? It's the things that are making... the things that are difficult, things that you're struggling with, okay? There's threats in your environment. There's competition. There are people that are out to, that want to, could hurt you. There are animals that will eat you. There are things that don't like you. That's the survival suppressor coming down. And then there's the survival accelerator, I think. But basically, these two forces are working together. And basically, man's only mission, and if you look at all of nature, is to survive, okay? Nature is just the fundamental key or component across all span of nature is just survive, okay? Dianetics takes it a step further, which is man's purpose is to survive for himself, to reproduce sexually, to bear offspring, to survive and help create within a community of like-minded people around it, and to help survive at the fundamental human level amongst humans across the world. So there's 4 things. Increase the quality of life for man himself. Reproduce. Increase the quality of his community. Increase the quality of mankind as a whole. Those are the 4 things that we're really here for. So man starts as a child, and he kind of works his way. I wish I had a pet. He kind of works his way through life, and the survival suppressors going up and down. So, for example, I graduated college. Boom. My survival suppressors going up. My confidence is high. I got a job. I was working, right? And then I didn't like that job. I wasn't making a lot of money. So it's on a scale of 0 to 4. So you basically have, when I graduated, I was probably at like a 2.8, maybe a 3. And then maybe I started working, I started making some money. Okay. And then my income was going up, right? Maybe I got into a 3.2, 3.4. And then all of a sudden, I started to get anxious at my job because I didn't like it. I didn't know what to do though. I didn't know how to leave. I didn't know what career I wanted. There was a lot of uncertainty. This created an anxiety within me. The anxiety created even more fear because I wasn't feeling optimal and I didn't know what to do. So it wasn't just uncertainty, but it was uncertainty mixed with uneasiness. Okay? That creates fear. Now that's a survival suppressor, lowering my ability to survive. Okay? Putting me more on edge, less relaxed, more likely to be induced to disease, more likely to get sick, IQ lowers, cortisol goes up, bad things. Then I was like, okay, something needs to change. I took my savings and I left, right? And I went to travel. I went to Hawaii, I went to South America, right? So now my excitement goes up. I'm encountered on difficulties, and trials and tribulations within myself and the world. And I face those tribulations and it goes up, and then maybe survival suppressor goes back up. But basically at the top, I'm making a long-winded way of saying is basically there's a zero, which is death and apathy. Above that is fear. Like a 0.5 is fear. One is rage. 1.5 is anger. 2 is like mediocrity. 3 is like interest, engagement, curiosity. 4 is enthusiasm and excitement for life, confidence, abundance. Let's go, baby. Right? So that's a survival suppressor. And Dianetics is basically talking about how we can develop these things called engrams. And an engram is an emotionally charged memory stored in the subconscious or the reactive mind that was imprinted on our energetic body or whatever in our mind when we were unconscious at a given point in time. It might have been when we were in my mother's womb. It might have been when we got knocked out by somebody at the bar and someone said, you're an idiot, you're no good. And then whenever we're unconscious, this is how an engram is created. We go unconscious. There's two things that need to happen for an engram to take place within the mind. There needs to be a level of unconsciousness. So you need to black out, get punched in the face, or get anesthesia. And there needs to be pain, physical or emotional pain. Those two things are together, an engram can be created. So traumatic situations like rape and that sort of thing or abuse are very highly likelihood of inducing an engram. Okay. So when those two things happen, there's a pain and there's unconsciousness. Okay. The analytical mind, which is the thing that processes decisions and is the intelligent decision maker that uses our memory bank of all past experiences. It's never wrong. Okay. It's always right in the sense that it makes decisions based on the best of its capability until you find out new information. It can be wrong because it doesn't have enough information, but it can't be wrong about recalling the information that it already knows. For example, I know that if I go and put my hand on the stove and I burn myself, it fucking hurts. I walk away. If someone comes over the next day and says, hey, you should put your hand on the stove, I can instantly recall the previous painful experience that I had when I put my hand on the stove, and I will know through recall and using the analytical mind that I'm not going to put my hand on the stove. Case in point. So what happens is whenever we get knocked unconscious and we're experiencing pain, what the analytical mind shuts off and the reactive mind takes over. Okay. So when this happens, it starts recording whatever's going on unconsciously because the mind is taking note. Okay, what the fuck is going on? We're in danger. So let's say that somebody, I'm at a bar, somebody punches me in the face and knocks me out. While I'm being knocked out, I hear a car go by. Someone breaks a beer bottle to my left. I hear the guy that punched me in the face says, you fucking idiot. You're no good. You're stupid. Okay, and then I fall and I land in a puddle and I hear water and I feel wet. Boom. So those are a bunch of things. I feel wet. I hear a beer bottle being broken, a car going by. These are all called re-stimulators. So when I wake up the next morning and I go about my day, consciously, I'm not aware of what happened because I don't really necessarily recall it. However, subconsciously, there's an engram that has been stored in my subconscious mind or my reactive mind that is going to be, could possibly be keyed in. And then I'm going, whenever that is keyed in, so let's say that the next day I wake up and I hear a car going by and somebody breaks a glass bottle while I'm walking down the street. There's two re-stimulators, and then all of a sudden I hear somebody say, "You're stupid, you're no good," okay? I hear those things, and all of a sudden I key in to that engram that was being played out, and it retaps me into that, and I start playing out whatever was being acted out. It's kind of complicated. It's also kind of pretty simple at the same time, and You can really, if you think about this, you can probably think of times where you've responded to somebody or said something, and then when you walked away, you were like, why did I say that? Or why did I do that? Why did I get so angry? You know, because there's this part of your mind that's not reacting analytically. It's acting very egotistically or reactively, subconsciously, that's trying to, it's like, you know, that's the demons that are within you. And they're part of your reactive mind that we all need to work out. So Dianetics goes a step further, and this is kind of where I haven't quite read there yet, but it says that we can basically, through Dianetic therapy, talk these things through. And by becoming aware of them, by becoming aware of the engrams that we have, we can clear them out. And eventually a person that goes from having all of these engrams can go to becoming what they call a Dianetic clear, where they have no engrams and they are functioning purely on their analytical mind. And their intelligence goes up, their senses go up, their vision gets clearer, their hearing gets better, their, you know, and all of these things happen. And it's like, wow, that's pretty interesting. Some people call it bullshit. I've talked to a lot of people about that. I've been interested in, you know, I've been doing some dabbling and learning about Scientology, and people give me weird looks. I think that people are overly charged or sensitive to getting involved in different religions or different like schools of thought. Like, I'm sure there's some people that have never learned about conspiracy theories. I'm sure there's people that have, you know, thought Buddhism is crazy, or people that think that, like, you know, just stupid or yoga's for women, right? It's like stupid stereotypical shit that it's like, okay, maybe if you just, like, I live with an open mind. That's my philosophy. So I'm going to, Scientology has benefited supposedly millions of people's lives. So there's got to be something of value, unless this is a crazy cult. And it's like, the chances of that though are very slim. Okay. If something has picked up millions of followings and people are, there's gotta be something to it. Right. So what I like to do is I just want to go in there and I want to immerse myself objectively, right? Like, okay, what is this? I want to hang out with those people. I want to say, okay, what is going on here? And what can be, if anything, can be extracted from this school of thought and be of use in my daily life, whether I continue the practice, the therapy or not. Okay. That's what I'm interested in. What can I take from this? Right. So, yeah, I'm reading that Dianetics. My birthday is coming up. That's exhilarating. Wow. I'll be 24. I'll be a year away from a quarter century. Pretty cool. I'm really fascinated by how far I've come personally in the past year. I mean, about a year ago is when I left for Hawaii. It's amazing how fast time flies. It's amazing. I think I'm probably the only one that leaves like spaces of time in the middle of their podcast where there's silence. That's probably really interesting. 19 minutes is long enough for me, though. I think I'm going to probably get ready for bed. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you appreciated the podcast, please drop a subscription, click the subscribe button, drop a like, and share with your friends. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you guys next time. Bye.